it down in the dirt so that the king could walk through. And then it says that the crowds went ahead of them, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Now, Hosanna is Hebrew. It means save now. And Son of David is that title for the Messiah. And so they're shouting to Jesus, "Son of David, Messiah, save now." They were ready to be saved. And then they shouted, "Blessed to he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And you'll remember Luke records that some of the religious leaders came to Jesus and they said, "Tell your service to stop shouting and singing these praise to you." And you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "I tell you that if they don't shout, the very rocks will cry out." Because this is the day that was ordained for the King to come. And the King of Israel and the Savior of the world had arrived. Now I want you to notice a couple of things as we close our time together. First of all, Jesus acted deliberately and with evident intention. In other words, he wasn't just some common Joe who was looking for a ride into Jerusalem. Oh no. He was the Creator God. Now you know, Jesus taught over and over again exactly what the Old Testament taught, that there is only one God. And so in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus reiterates that there is only one God and that there is no other. And Jesus claimed to be that very one God that the nation of Israel had evolved around for hundreds and hundreds of years. He claimed to be that God, that Creator, who had created all things. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And as we talked about one morning, that phrase, "I am," was the Greek equivalent to Yahweh, the Creator God who appeared to Moses. Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." And that Greek word that's translated "one" is the Greek word "hen." It means one and the same. So Jesus is saying, "The Father and I are one and the same." Then Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And so this is not some common Joe looking for a ride to Jerusalem. This is not a prophet trying to fulfill some other prophet's words. No, this is not just another God trying to do something spectacular. This is the Creator God, the eternal God from eternity past, here to fulfill His promise to Daniel and to everyone, here to pay the penalty for men's sins, just as He promised Isaiah in chapter 53, here to let everyone know that God has visited this planet. And so, He's on His way to Jerusalem. Nothing will stop Him. He has walked everywhere He's ever gone in His entire ministry. He has never rode an animal, but this day He rode an animal. He wanted everyone to know that He was the King that Zechariah saw in his prophecy. And so He rides on this donkey's colt, a beast of burden. And of course, you know, kings ride stallions, don't they? Or they stand in chariots. But this King is unique. God wanted the world to know this King would not come on a stallion. This King would not be in a chariot. This King would come on a donkey, a donkey's colt. Jesus never did anything to bring attention to Himself. In fact, you remember that He actually went into Jerusalem several times in years before, unannounced. But today is different. Today He wants everyone to know that Scripture is being fulfilled. Then I want you to notice that He acted with sovereign knowledge. Even though He didn't see those animals because those animals were in another village, He knew exactly where they were. He gave His disciples explicit instructions. And He even told them what the people would say. And what Jesus said they would say, they said. They said, "Why are you taking the colt?" And Jesus said, "If they ask you why you're taking the colt, say this, the Lord has need of them." And so He acted with unquestioned authority. The Lord has need of them. It's a universal proclamation of His rule and His kingship. And then I'd like for you to notice that in that passage, there's an example with a universal principle. Now here's the example. The example is the disciples heard the words of Jesus. They obeyed Him. They found it exactly as He said. And they, because they obeyed Him, the will of God was accomplished. That's a wonderful example for us, isn't it? Now that's the example. Now here's the principle. Here's the principle. If you know the commands of Jesus and obey them, God's purpose will be accomplished in and through your life. If you know the commands of Jesus and obey them, God's purpose will be accomplished in and through your life. Now, let me give you a few examples. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom. Now, if we seek first His kingdom, I can tell you that God's purpose will be accomplished in your life. Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. I can assure you that if you love others as Jesus has loved you, God's will and God's purpose will be accomplished in your life. Jesus said, forgive others as I have forgiven you. I can assure you that if you forgive others as Jesus has forgiven you, that God's purpose and God's will be accomplished through your life. And so there's that universal purpose, that His universal plan for all of us. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. If we would just come to Jesus and follow Him, God's purpose and God's will be accomplished in our life. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. We thank You for just a glimpse of that incredible day, that day of celebration. And Lord, I pray that we would not miss it like many of those in Jerusalem missed it. I pray, Lord, that we would see that You are the King, that You are the eternal God who came in flesh. And as we know those prophecies about the Messiah, that He would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Yes, this Messiah is not just some common Joe, not just another God, but the Mighty God. And so we worship You this morning, Jesus, our Creator, our Savior, the eternal God who made an eternal payment for our sins so that we could be eternally forgiven and inherit eternal life. And this is a gift of mercy on Your part. We could never earn this eternal gift. And so we can only fall humbly before You and give You thanks and praise for Your mercy. And because of Your mercy, we give ourselves afresh to You this morning and praise and thank You for Your presence here, for Your desire to forgive anyone who turns to You and calls upon You because of Your eternal payment for our sins and because of Your mercy and eternal plans for us. And for this we praise and give thanks. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, choir. You were awesome. It was completely my fault. I came into
sit up here and your family starts to sing that song. And then when the children come up to sing their children's song, they go out the door and you.
Well, naturally, you can understand that the slaves, the Hebrew slaves in Babylon, were pretty discouraged. They were wondering, you know, what about these promises of a Messiah? How can we rule the world? We're not even a nation anymore. God has forgotten us. And so they were grieved, and they were, as typical, grumbling and griping and complaining. And of course, Daniel was very grieved as well. And so here's what Daniel did. He went to God in prayer. And over several days, fasted and prayed. He confessed his sins. He confessed the sins of his nation. And he went to God and he said, God, when is the Messiah coming? Now, you know what happened? God answered him. God told him exactly when the Messiah would come. Let's take a look at God's answer. I'll put it up for you. There we go. Daniel wrote, Daniel 9, here's God's answer. God said, know therefore and understand. Now, isn't that great? The Almighty wants everyone to know. The Almighty wants everyone to understand what's going on. And the Almighty wants everyone to know when the Messiah would come. And so he tells them when the Messiah would come. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, okay, here it is, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, that's the New King James Version. Literally, it's 7 weeks plus 69 weeks, which is 7 weeks plus 62 weeks, which is 69 weeks. And the literal translation is 7 units of 7 and 62 units of 7. Now, the Jewish rabbis translate this passage like this. 7 sevens of years and 62 sevens of years. So that passage literally says in the original language, 60, or could be added up as 69 sevens of years. Well, how many years is that? It's just 69 times 7. 69 times 7 is 483 years. So now we know how many years until Messiah will come. So let's put that back into God's answer. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 483 years. Now, at this time in the Jews' history, they used their Hebrew calendar, and a Hebrew calendar has 12 months with 30 days in each month. Every once in a while, they would kick in a 13th month to kind of make things even out. But they had 360 days in each year. So if you want to know exactly how many days this is, all you'd have to do is multiply 483 years times 360 days. How much is that? Well, 483 years times 360 days is 173,880 days. So let's put that into God's answer. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 173,880 days. Now, the big question is, when was the command to restore Jerusalem? Well, it's specifically dated in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1. It occurred in the first of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes. Now, Artaxerxes was a Persian monarch at that time. We know from archaeology that the first year of Artaxerxes was 465 B.C. So we can pinpoint this. The 20th year of Artaxerxes, the first of Nisan, would be 445 B.C. The first of Nisan translates to your calendar, the Gregorian calendar, to March 14th. So we can specifically date the command to rebuild Jerusalem as happening on the 14th of March, 445 B.C. So let's put that into God's answer now, because now everything is complete. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, which was March 14th, 445 B.C., until Messiah the Prince, there will be 173,880 days. Now I should mention that the first of Nisan was the beginning of the Jewish calendar. And the beginning of the Jewish calendar began when the nation of Israel left Egypt. And so the beginning of the Jewish year is Passover. And evidently Nehemiah, perhaps for sentimental reasons, he wanted the slaves in Babylon to leave Babylon on the same day that the slaves in Egypt left Egypt. And so he waited for the new moon. Now one of your astrologers, Astrologer Royal, traced this thing back, and sure enough, on the 14th of March, 445 B.C., there was a new moon. Now, if Daniel's prophetic accuracy, or his prophetic word is accurate, some event must have happened 143,880 days from March 14th, 445 B.C. In fact, if Jesus is correct, that's when the Messiah should have come. Now, you know what those days work out to be? April 6th, 32 A.D. That's why we're here. Today is April 6, 32 A.D., and Jesus is going to be coming into Jerusalem, riding on a colt in fulfillment of another prophecy by Zechariah in 9, verse 9. He wrote this 500 years earlier, "Behold, O Zion, your king comes riding on a colt." Now, you see, God didn't want anyone to miss it, because kings don't ride on colts, do they? No, they ride on stallions. They sit in chariots, but this king was going to come riding on a colt. And the Almighty wanted everyone to know. Now, you might be wondering, what is Jesus doing right at this moment? Well, he's on the other side of that ridge over there making preparations. We'll see him soon. And you're blessed. You know what happens on this day. The people in the town here, they don't have much of a clue. And I want you to know there's over 2 million people in town today. Jews have come from all over the world to celebrate the Passover. And many of them are here because they want to see Jesus. They've heard about his miracles. Many of them heard that he just raised Lazarus from the dead several weeks ago. And so they want to see him as well. And so there's an excitement here in the city. They are waiting for Jesus. They know he's coming for the Passover. And, of course, the Almighty wants you to know what this day is like. And so he had his servant Matthew write the events of the day. And you heard our sister Linda read them. Let's look at them again. It says that as he approached Jerusalem, he came to Bethphage. Now, Bethphage is right up on that ridge, just on the side of the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Now, I'd like you to notice that Jesus is directing his disciples to get two animals, not one. There's the mare, and then there's the colt. You see, Jesus, the one who created all things, this Messiah, who was one with the Father since the world began, he knows how animals act and think. He knows that a colt is going to be much more willing to go along if its mother is there. And such is the case. Jesus can't see the animals, but he knows they're there. And so he sends the disciples to get them. And then he gives them some very detailed instructions. He says, "Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord needs them." Now, Mark and Luke both record that somebody did say something to them. Somebody stopped them and said, "Why are you untying the animals?" And they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They answered and said, "The Lord needs them." And they gave them permission to take the animals. So these two animals came to Jesus. He's probably getting the animals ready right now. And then Matthew writes, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion," that's the people of Jerusalem, "see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And it's interesting that Zechariah, who wrote this 5,500 years earlier, mentions two animals. And so it says that the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. You know, those of us in the angelic host, we watch the things that happen on the earth. And we're always so excited and delighted when followers of Jesus do as he has instructed them. And so they did as he instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt. They took the cloaks off their back and put them on the animals. And then Jesus sat on them. And then, there he is! He's coming over the ridge! Everyone get ready! He'll soon be here! He's going to come through the gate! He's going to be coming through the streets of Jerusalem! He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Glory! Woo-hoo! He'll be here soon! Good news to Zion.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
We have come to sing it from the highest mountain.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
We will shout it out in the streets of Judah.
We are not afraid.
For the Lord Creator has come as Savior.
Praise His holy name.
look, He's coming right in front of us.
We are the ones to crown Him King of ages. We will make a way for the Son of David. Hear the lion roar in the holy city,
breaking every chain.
And the stars together will sing forever.
Praise His holy name.
Praise His holy name. Oh,
praise His holy name.
River of peace will overflow.
So lift up your voice, lift your song, and praise the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the promised one. Blessed be the kingdom come. Blessed be the victory.
We are the ones to bring good news to Zion.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
We praise You, Jesus. We give thanks to You as the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lord of glory, who is ruler of heaven and earth. We praise You, Jesus, the Messiah King, the only King of heaven and earth, the only Savior of heaven and earth. And we praise and give honor and glory to You. For You alone are worthy of honor and worship and praise. Amen and amen. And so Jesus came into Jerusalem today, April 6, 32 AD. What a joyous celebration that was. And then it says in the scripture, a very large crowd spread their cloaks. You probably saw it on the road. They took the cloaks off their backs and laid it down to honor this king who had come. And then it says that others cut off branches from the trees and spread to make a pathway for the king. Then the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Now, Hosanna is a Hebrew word. It means save now. The Son of David is a title for the Messiah. So, make no mistake about it. The people of the town were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. You remember Mark records and John records that the religious leaders came to Jesus and said, "Hey, tell everybody to be quiet. They're proclaiming You as the Messiah." And of course, you remember how Jesus responded. He said, "If they don't shout, the very rocks themselves will cry out." This was the day that the Lord had ordained. This was the day that the Messiah had come. They shouted, "Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And so He was proclaimed that day as Messiah. I'd like for you to notice a couple of things as we close our time together. I'd like for you to notice that Jesus acted deliberately and with evident intention. You see, he was just not some common Joe thumbing a ride into town. Oh, no. Jesus proclaimed, just as Scripture teaches, that there is one God and one God only. In Matthew chapter 9, he reiterated that there's just one God. And he wanted everyone to know, he wanted it to be perfectly clear, that everyone would know and understand that he is that one God who created all things. He said, before Abraham was born, I am. And we talked a number of weeks ago about how that Greek phrase, I am, equates to the Hebrew word, I am, Yahweh, the same name that God gave to Moses in the burning bush. He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And then he said, the Father and I are one. The Greek word there, the Greek word hen, literally means one and the same. So it could be translated, for the Father and I are one and the same. So Jesus, as he makes this entry into Jerusalem, again, he's not just some common Joe trying to bring attention to himself coming into town. Oh no, this is the Creator God who is fulfilling his promises to Daniel. Because see, it was Jesus 500 years earlier who gave that answer to Daniel and let him know when he would come. It was Jesus who gave that prophecy to Zechariah to let him know that he'd be coming on a donkey's colt. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Nothing will stop him. He's coming for a purpose. He, the eternal God, is coming to make an eternal payment for the sins of the world. I'd like for you to notice that Jesus, in his ministry, walked everywhere. He never rode an animal until this day, in fulfillment of this prophecy over 500 years earlier. He came on a beast of burden. How fitting that the one who would take the burdens of the sins from the world would ride a beast of burden. Jesus never did anything to bring attention to himself. You'll remember that several times he actually went into Jerusalem unannounced. But today he's doing something different. Today he's bringing the attention to himself. He's proclaiming himself the fulfillment of this prophecy, the Messiah King. Then I'd like for you to notice that he acted with sovereign knowledge. He knew exactly where those animals were, even though he couldn't see them. He knew how the people would respond as the animals were being led away. And so he prepared his disciples and told them exactly what to say. He acted with unquestioned authority. He told the disciples, just tell them the Master has need of them. And so implied in that instruction was a universal authority that those would recognize, that these people would recognize. Then I'd like for you to notice in this passage that there's an example with a universal principle. First, the example is this. That the disciples listened to the words of Jesus, they obeyed him, and did exactly as he said. And as I mentioned, we in the angelic host who watch the movements of men and nations, we always get so excited when people listen to Jesus and do what he says. And because the disciples listened to Jesus and did what he said, followed his instructions, went into the next village, found things just as he said, secure the animals and brought them back to Jesus, the will of God was accomplished. So that's the example. Now I'd like for us to look together at the principle. Here's the principle. If you know the commands of Jesus and obey them, God's purpose will be accomplished in and through your life. Let me say that again. If you know the commands of Jesus and obey them, God's purpose will be accomplished in and through your life. Now, how can you know the commands of Jesus? Well, the only way we're going to know them, again, God has blessed you by giving you His Word. And so that's why we need to be in His Word every day, reading the words of Jesus every day, so that we can know His words, know His commands, and obey them. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Jesus said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. I can tell you that if we just obey that command, that God's will and God's purpose will be accomplished in your life. Jesus said, love others as I have loved you. I can tell you that if we obey Jesus and love others as He has loved us, God's purpose and God's will be accomplished in and through our life. Jesus said, forgive others as I have forgiven you. If we would just forgive others as He has forgiven us, God's will and God's purpose would be accomplished in our life. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. If we would just come to Him and lay our burdens, our fears, our anxious thought upon Him. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. If we would just bring all of our anxious thoughts to Him and pray about everything, God's will and purpose would be accomplished in and through us. We would experience the wisdom of God, the grace of God, the leading of God as we listen to His Word and obey it. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father,